Jeff, throw your Cash App in the chat. People are throwing money into Lord knows where it goes. Give it to Jeff. When you hear Ozzy singing Iron Man, get fired up. It's Neil Greenberg time. Hello, Neil. How do you do, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're good, man.
What's happening with you, Neil?
Let's start quickly. What kind of an impact do you think DeAndre Hopkins will have for the Chiefs?
I mean, they can't get more undefeated, so I think it gives them just another reliable receiver. You know, it makes them more dangerous, and you know, with Patrick Mahomes, just obviously giving him more weapons to throw to is better. He had a serious clunker this last week. Somehow the team is still 6-0, and I think, the Chiefs are widely considered one of the best teams in the NFL, and they're getting a superstar receiver. So I think it just helps their floor. You know, I mean, maybe we won't see the top come off for 60 points, but, you know, we're not going to see this team struggle to score points either. So I think it's a smart play for a team that obviously is a Super Bowl contender, and it doesn't seem like the price was too steep.
Like, when you look at him and also Cooper Kupp was out there, who do you think fit them better? Because I know Cooper Kupp runs a lot of intermediate stuff, basically where Kelce works. And I think when you look at D. Hopkins, he's normally on the outside, which allowed Kelce that time inside. Which one would be more analytically correct for them?
Probably getting someone outside to free up Kelce inside, because Kelce's a threat no matter what, right? Like, you know, I know there's a lot of excuses being made for him, and he's obviously in the spotlight for a lot of different reasons aside from football. But if a defense is going to look and say, okay, we have to cover DeAndre Hopkins on the outside and worry about Travis Kelce on the inside, and, oh, by the way, there's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game that can really just choose where he wants to throw the ball, that's tough. And I think that's really probably what they're going for, just to make as many matchup problems as possible. So I think it'll be interesting. I think that, you know, again, making a dangerous team more dangerous by adding, you know, a 5-time Pro Bowl, 3-time All-Pro receiver just makes a lot of sense to me.
I agree with you. Who knows what they've got left, but if he's got something left, then Mahomes will find it. You know what's funny is you said Mahomes had a bad game until the fourth quarter when they had back-to-back
touchdown
drives where he just made the plays that needed to be made, and it was 25 plays and the clock runs. Like, that team is just a wagon, and we keep talking about all the other teams.
I ask this all the time, and this is a serious question. How many points would Mahomes have to be facing, let's say like halfway through the fourth quarter, deficit-wise, for you to truly believe that the Chiefs are out of it and can't win? Three touchdowns?
I think they need to be down. They need to be down like three touchdowns, two touchdowns and a field goal.
I think you get to 17.
And it has to be late in the damn game for me.
I think you get to 17.
And even then, you're kind of thinking, you know what? I'm pretty sure they're going to lose the game, but I'm not 100% sure they're going to lose the game, because we can see Mahomes and the Chiefs pop off for three touchdowns in you know, 7 minutes or whatever it is. So, it's remarkable to watch. We're lucky. You know, we're lucky to be able to watch this guy play football. He's not even 30 years old yet, and he's one of the best to ever do it. I think that, it makes for an interesting game.
I think people don't give credit to the other side, too, because the defense has to be damn good to get the ball back for him. Just like when Washington scored 35 points in the half or in the quarter, people go, oh, man, offense was cooking. That damn defense was cooking, too, to get the ball back that many times.
Doug's Super Bowl, yeah.
Yes.
All right, we're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. You can give him a follow, at N. Greenberg. You have updated, every week you do this, but I think you updated it this morning, if I'm correct. Playoff projections for every team in the NFL. And on top of that, you've kind of adjusted what is a reasonable win total, what you expect them to land at. Get us up to speed with your Commanders projections.
So I have Commanders now as a 3 points per game better than an average team. That puts them 10th in the NFL, and I have them winning 11 games this year, which is nuts. Right? Like it's silly, considering that's almost double their win total preseason in terms of the betting markets.
Yes.
But they're 5-2, and the rest of the division isn't that great. Obviously, the quarterback position in terms of Jaden Daniels' injury situation is something to monitor and could drastically change these projections. But I think right now, with 5 wins already banked, and you know, I don't think they have one of the more difficult schedules going forward. It certainly looks like they are in the driver's seat to win the division at the very least. But I think a double-digit win season is well within reach.
Have they impressed you more than you ever thought or could have imagined?
Didn't you have a ticket on them to win 11?
In terms of getting over 7 wins, I did not think that they would be contending for the division this early in the season and this significantly, right? Like, you know, I just didn't think that it was possible to get to this point. But, you know, Dallas in particular being as underwhelming as they are this year, I think was what unlocked the whole thing. And, you know, if not for preseason expectations for Philadelphia, I think the outlook for Washington would be even more optimistic. But because Philadelphia was considered to be such a strong Super Bowl contender preseason, you know, that's still going to be baked into a lot of the power rankings that are, you know, based on analytics. But, it's a remarkable season for so much change everywhere in the organization. But, you know, it was a possibility, and we're seeing that possibility kind of play out in front of us.
Do I recall correctly, didn't you have a little cash, a little ticket on like an alt win total for Washington?
I did,
like
9.5
12
wins,
or something? Okay,
yeah,
what did that?
Half, over 9.5 wins, because, you know, as I spoke
what
about
that
at the
pay?
Time. I'm sorry?
What can or will that pay?
I don't know, I think it was like plus 180 or something.
But they don't let you bet much, right?
No, I don't get to bet much anyway, but just looking at,
so
you know, again, like the downside was so... You know, what was the downside? Like 3 wins? Like the worst team? Like they're not Carolina Panthers bad. So, you know, you can't expect like a 2-win season. And most teams that aren't good in the NFL win, what, 3 or 4 games at least. So it just made more sense to bet optimistically because the market was, you know, leaning more pessimistically. And that's really how you want to attack these win total markets, especially the alt win totals, is at what we call the tails, right? Like the extreme sides of bad or good. And it just made a lot of sense to me that Washington had more upside than they did downside.
So, Neil, people, like when you look at the game last week, how the defense performed against South Carolina, is there numbers that tell you, like, we know Carolina's bad, and I know I hear people, well, it was Carolina, but the way that they handled them, you know, does it show anything of their improvement on the defensive side for the Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen bad teams give up a lot of points to other bad teams, right? Like that, you know, we've always said that good teams don't just win, like they blow the doors off of teams, and especially the bad teams, and that's, you know, that's what Washington's doing right now. I think even after, you know, you adjust the final score for you know, success rates and turnovers and third down and everything like that, you know, it still probably should have been a 2-touchdown win, which is significant in the NFL because of how much parity there is. So, yeah, I do think that, you know, Washington being able to hold any NFL team to 7 points is notable. And, you know, we've seen a lot of bad teams score a lot of points at various times. So the fact that Washington is winning, but now they're winning convincingly, I think is really the key to all this. It's not just squeaking by wins. It's, you know, beating, you know, teams, you know, 42-14, 34-13, 40-7. That's, I mean, and only losing to a team like Baltimore by 7, which they might have been able to win that game, is kind of where we're at there. So, yeah, pour on the points. You know, prevent the other team from doing much of anything, even if they're bad teams. You know, that's what the NFL is all about.
All right, so Greenberg's metrics now have them as an 11-win team, 84% to make the playoffs, 54% to win the division, a 14% chance of being the one seed, which means a bye. Even a 5% chance of winning the Super Bowl, which is pretty damn remarkable. Shout out to Akeem.
I would take it.
Akeem Smith in the chat did remind me of something. B-Mitch has said if they win 11 games that you'll wear a tutu and pom-poms.
Whoa. Hey, man.
I'm just saying, neither of us had thought about that in a very long time.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, Lord.
But just,
you got to find that, Jeff. If y'all don't find it, I didn't say it.
Just,
you need a receipt something. On that one.
That's yeah.
Hey, if y'all don't find it, I didn't say it.
Just something to keep in mind.
Man, God, but, you got a damn sense of humor, don't you?
I wonder if I can put a emoticon in the actual projections thing. I'll have to talk to my graphic guy about that.
But Greenberg, last week we found ourselves at a statistical crossroads, perhaps.
Yeah,
where you're telling us how much positive momentum the Commanders have, but you had them 18th in your power rankings.
Yeah, but again, my power rankings aren't they're not linear, right? Like that's the important thing to keep in mind. Like, they're not linear. So, like, the difference between, like, let's say 13th and 18th could be pretty small. And these obviously get adjusted. They get adjusted based on who you beat, by how much you beat, how much they, you know, your opponents get beaten by who and by how much, and, you know, what the future looks like and everything. And, you know, we kind of phase out older results, and we look more towards what's going on in the present and what we think is going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, as I said earlier, it's not an exact science. There's some art to it. You know, how much do you phase out the preseason and when? You know, these are all questions like, you know, the analytic community has been talking about for a while, because everyone does it differently. But yeah, I think now, you know, the projections have caught up with the perception of reality. You know, you have Kansas City at the top, you have Detroit near the top, you have Carolina and New England near the bottom, and then, you know, you have Washington in the top third. The only metric I'm concerned about now is the Bears, as also like a top 10 team. They've also been winning, but their strength of schedule is a little bit soft. So I'm curious to see how that shakes out. But I'm happy with the way things are going, and I think the Commanders are probably reflecting, based on the upcoming injury reports, that where they belong in the NFL right now.
All right. Speaking of the upcoming injury reports, we obviously have this Jaden Daniels rib situation. Shout out to Lamphill or Cody, whoever's running the B. Mitch and Finley Twitter account has already found the Photoshop picture of B. Mitch in the tutu and pom poms, and just tweeted out Neil Greenberg projects.
That may be all y'all get.
That is a subplot to watch for sure. We don't know. It's a rib injury. It could just be a pain threshold thing. What do you make of it? What do you think the impact is this weekend specifically?
Well, the betting markets are all over the place because no one really knows like what to expect of this team if Jaden Daniels isn't the quarterback. I don't think the drop off for one game is going to be like that significant. I think that they've had plenty of time to game plan for it. I think as of right now, the play callers, as I said last week, deserve the benefit of the doubt. They've had plenty of time. They know their personnel very well. I think that they're going to be fine against a Bears team, which I don't believe is very good. So I think the short term is going to be fine. The long term has always been an issue, and I kind of talked about that as the almost like the more important plot of the season, which is keep Jaden Daniels healthy.
Yeah.
If he misses one game, there are plenty of quarterbacks that miss a game. I'm not really worried about that. It's just more of a long-term situation. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a long-term situation, so I guess that's positive news. But look, if you're going to miss a game, having it be against the Bears is not the worst thing in the world.
Watching B-Rob come into the game last week and his effectiveness, and that offense works. I mean, Jaden wasn't, but Mariota had, a damn good game as well. How important is he to the success of this offense? I know we talk about Jaden, we talk about passing, but when he's running the ball like he runs it, this team looks way better.
Yeah, I mean, it's important, and we're seeing the running game become more important to NFL offenses, and you know, it's been on the downturn for quite a while. And that's not to say like running backs are now the end all be all, but you know, again, when you're an NFL defense and you have to worry about a guy like Jaden Daniels throwing the ball and running the ball, and then you have another rusher like Brian Robinson who can be very good at running the ball, and even Austin Ekeler out of the backfield, and you know, all that kind of stuff like that. That is why I think defenses are having so much problems, because it becomes too difficult to worry about legitimate tertiary options like Brian Robinson, and it just makes it more difficult. And then if he's any sort of efficient, you know, running the ball, that converts down series, and you get more bites of the apple, and you just get to do your thing for longer. So yeah, I think every ingredient is important. I think the sum of this thing is greater than the parts, right? Like if Brian Robinson went someplace else, not quite sure he'd have as much success. Same with Jaden Daniels, same with Terry McLaurin, Austin Ekeler. Like I think all these offensive pieces are put together in a way that is working. And you can tinker with one or two, but I think every part of it is important because the defense literally has to account for all of it. They can't just single in on one key component of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Cliff is pulling all the levers at the right times, man. I mean, I don't know if you watched, Jay Gruden did this film series back from the Ravens game, where there was this like inside design run and Jaden rolled to the right, and the film was, he said, he's like, why? He's like, this is going back whenever that was, 3 weeks ago. He's like, you're going to see this again because look how much space there is for Jaden if he keeps it. Sure enough, he that's the first play of the game. I'm with you. I think
every time I see him like give it and keep going, I'm like, oh Lord, they will come back on that one.
Well, and I think, you know, we're not trying to minimize the rib injury. Obviously, that's a factor, but it also seems fairly minimal. Like maybe misses Chicago. I think that is on the table, but it's not a long-term thing. Most quarterbacks don't play 17 anyway. How much, if any, we've heard the thing about Cliff's offenses start hot and then the league catches up. I don't think that's the case. I think Cliff has evolved, and they have a ton of other offensive coaches on the staff with major experience. Anthony Lynn at the top of that list. But how much stock do you put into that?
I put in none, because this offense so far has been good at being deceptive, and that's the key. Yeah. Like if you were going to tell me that they were being, you know, it was always Jaden Daniels to McLaurin, like Jaden Daniels to McLaurin for 50-yard chunks, like. If you told me there was one part of the offense that was carrying most of the work, then yeah, the defenses are definitely gonna probably figure it out. But the defenses, I don't think, know what the team is going to be doing, and that makes it almost impossible to catch up, right? Like you have to just be lucky every time, and I think that's. You know, we're too quick to say, well, you know, Kingsbury's offenses have always started off hot and fizzled, so they're always going to, you know, go hot and fizzled. But he was also the head coach at the time, right? Like now his whole purpose is keeping this offensive juggernaut, and it is a juggernaut, which is weird to say, like the momentum going. And again, he deserves the benefit of the doubt, and I think it's going to be fine. I don't think that this is an offense that you can figure out, you know, in the first half of the season, and in the second half of the season, the wheels are going to come off, assuming everyone's healthy. I just think there's too much deception going on. There's too many components you have to worry about. I don't see it. And a lot of people go broke betting on the contrary, but I think this offense is going to be fine. Now, maybe it won't be historically great the whole season, but it doesn't need to be. It just needs to be very good, and I think that it definitely has the ability to be very good throughout the season.
One word answer, Wiz, win total, I saw it at 20 wins. Over.
I don't bet over on teams that don't want to win. Now, they may not say they don't want to win. They may not say that they're trying to lose. But it makes no sense for the Wizards to be competitive in any way, shape, or form, because all that does is hurt their future. So I just never bet the over on teams that have no interest in winning.
Great hit, very bad at a one-word answer. Thank you for your time.
Don't tell me to ask you questions like that, Neil.
See you, Greenberg.
Yeah, bye, bro. I know.
We got to go. That's our friend, Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow, at N Greenberg. Trade deadline's creeping up. Trades are heating up. Who should be buyers by next week?
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Because right now, FanDuel is giving all customers 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA. There are so many exciting things about this season coming up. And one, last night we saw a father and son finally play together. Son didn't do much at all. We want to see Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio, see how good he's going to be. And the way the Celtics played back last night, I think they may just be on the way to a repeat. If you're new to FanDuel, just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. After 3 month free trial, the full price of NBA League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, Lanville, I'm audibling. Don't be mad.
Well, we do that all the time.
I know.
Call me Peyton Manning.
Kaylin Kaler.
Getting caught in the rain.
Lanville, let's see if we can book Kaylin. She's a senior NFL reporter for ESPN, covers the whole league, does really good, in-depth, interesting stories. And I think we know in Dallas, Jerry Jones has become a master of
deception.
I would say maximizing profits, right, among many things.
Oh, he does that.
And at the Cowboys practice facility in Frisco, also known as the Star, they're giving tours all the time. Okay. Right? And this article opens, I'm just going to read here for a moment. A tour guide presents a wall display of the Dallas Cowboys' proudest achievements to a group of 20-plus people crowded in front of them, many wearing a mix of Cowboys jerseys. At the other end of the hallway, less than a football field away, are the Cowboys' position meeting rooms. A player opens a door and walks out. Before we get started, we have a few ground rules, the tour guide says. If a player or coach walks by, don't yell, don't talk to them, don't take pictures of any people. If they come up to you, that's fine. It's a work day here at the Dallas Cowboys. This is 10 a.m. on the Friday before the Cowboys played the Lions. Mm. All right? The article goes on to explain that there's just so much stuff happening that perhaps the football organization isn't entirely locked in on the purpose of winning football games.
Mm-hmm.
And while I love reading about the demise of the Dallas Cowboys, what I find particularly interesting are a pair of quotes. These quotes, Brian, would be from a pair, Dante Fowler Jr., who had a pick six last week, previously in Dallas, said of the difference between Dallas and Washington, "You got real facilities here. You might not see tourists coming around, but it keeps the main thing the main thing." Dorrance Armstrong, who signed in Washington this offseason after playing 6 years with Dallas. "I'm smiling. When I walk in the building here, I just have work." How about that? How about the difference in that?
I think they are actually talking about having to deal with extra stuff to promote things for Jerry.
Totally.
They don't get paid for, okay?
And just having random people walk around.
I'm going to be straight up honest with you. The facilities are far better. But when you go over here, you don't even see many of the workers over in that building. It's football and football only. And you can understand what they're saying because there are people who have left the game that loves that thing. But when you're there to play ball, and you walk out your meeting room to run to the bathroom, you don't want nobody. You know, you're going to speak to people. You try to be nice because you know it's a tour. You know Jerry does it. You're not going to just poop on the people.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to run to the bathroom. Dude, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Can I take a picture? And, you know, they say don't approach the people, but they want the players to approach them. and do stuff to make sure that they can always have that little thing going. Because you know what? The next group that comes will pay more.
Bro, we said this throughout the off-season training camp preseason that under the previous regime, there would have been billboards on Route 50, on 95 South, on the Beltway with Jaden Daniels, picture saying, buy your tickets now, this joint's selling out. Like, like they would have marketed the hell out of Jaden Daniels before he ever threw a snap, right?
Oh, totally.
These guys didn't do that. They don't operate in that manner. I'd argue
they kind of kept
Jaden pretty buttoned up. Like, there was no Jaden media blitz. You know what I mean?
I think
there's
they
a
know.
Difference.
They know exactly what the hell they're doing.
I don't think when they say, when Fowler says the facilities, I don't think they're necessarily talking about, like, the size of the locker room and stuff. Because what Dallas has.
Now, what he's saying is this is a facility for football. This is not a facility for you to go marketing your damn team 24/7. You know, some guys like that stuff. Some guys, they don't like it. They don't like dealing with all the other people all the time. Be real.
Dude, they don't like, not everybody, but some folks are annoyed by the media being around. And there's at least a job function
but
to
they
that.
Understand the media, that's part of their promotion.
Right.
So they'll deal with that.
But just having tours walking through. I mean, if you think about what has happened out here, they moved the entire business facility, basically. They're now in College Park.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this yesterday. Just think about the difference in Jamin Davis getting cut and the team breaking that news compared to how that would have gone down over the previous.
They would have leaked it to somebody that they know.
Oh, dude. I mean, a million people would have leaked it. But when you have less people in that building, there's less ways for news to get out.
Bam.
And the business people can focus on business and don't have to worry about bumping into a coach in the men's room or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, they are doing things smart. And to compare it to what Dallas is doing, just it really stands out because Dallas is absolutely best in class in the physical build-out, structure, equipment, all of that. They're undeniably best in class.
Wow.
But you can ask the question, is the focus on winning all the time?
No, the focus is on making money. And that's the part of the winning. Like, they may not have said what Bruce Allen said, but they damn sure believe
winning off the field?
Because I when I went there, that was 2 years ago, and the Super Bowl was in Arizona, and I flew through Dallas because I had to speak at a sales conference or whatever for a data bank. And when I went in there, because one of my buddies is the strength coach for Dallas, I went in there to just say what's up to him, and I happened to see my former teammate, Cedric Smith, who's an assistant who played here. It was people walking all over that damn building. I was like, damn, man, because I knew, you know, Dallas wasn't at work. It was Super Bowl time, so they were all going wherever they going. But the building was full, and it wasn't workers. It was people just going on tours. And it has to be like that all the time. That got to be annoying.
Yeah, for sure. It's got to be so annoying. You imagine you're grinding, you're playing through.
That would run you pure crazy.
You're playing
it.
Through a separated shoulder, and you get out of your linebacker meeting, and you got a special teams meeting, and you're just trying to grab some food in between in the hallway, and you got to deal with Bill from Brunswick standing there with his pen out. Because I'm sure
Bill from Brunswick.
I'm sure they're not supposed to, right? But that doesn't mean they don't. A lot of people are not supposed to do a lot of things on this planet, and they do.
What we learned, Jay, ask for forgiveness, not permission, and it's always a lot easier.
For sure. For sure. You know what else is a lot easier? If you got to move, you need to call my friends from DC Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Seriously, they are the absolute best movers in the DMV. They can do your office. They can do your house. They have specialized moving planners that will come to your house, work out a plan for your belongings. They can pack your belongings. However you want to get it done, they can get it done. You can check them out at dcmetropolitanmoving.com. You can call 301-279-0090. And if you got high-end stuff, you got artwork or really fancy chandelier or something, they will devise a specific plan to get that move safely from A to B. Or, and this is actually going on with my brother-in-law, if you sell your house and you think you got your next house lined up and then something happens and you need to put some stuff in storage, they'll take care of that too. They'll come pick it up, store it as long as you need, and then they'll deliver it to your new home when you get into your new home. Here's the difference for me. I've known these dudes since we were all in high school. They've built a successful company by doing things the right way. Check them out. My boys, John and Justin, give them a call, 301-279-0090. DC Metropolitan Moving. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We expect to hear from Dan Quinn in about 30, 40 minutes. Going to be interesting to hear from DQ today with the quarterback situation, frankly. I don't know what kind of information we'll get. And we're also supposed to hear from the quarterback this afternoon, and that will also kind of have its own interest level. I don't think we're going to have time to spend a whole lot of time on this, but the Mystics fired the how do you say that name?
Tebow.
I think you're right.
Tebow.
So Tebow was like the GM. He was the coach when they won the title, you know, a couple of years back. And then he kind of installed his son as the new head coach. For me, for them to clear house like this shows how much more serious WNBA is getting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's not just we're going to just throw somebody in there.
Right.
We need a legit coach in here.
Well, I think it's like, yo, this thing's a cash cow, and now we got to start taking it real serious. Not that they weren't, but, like, I don't know. I think they just recognize they have to keep pressing the gas more for the Sticks. I just find that kind of interesting. As we get closer and closer to this trade deadline, though, B., do you think, just on the surface level, should Washington be buyers or sellers?
I don't think they should be no seller for sure. You're building something right now and it's working in the direction you want. You keep going with it, and then you add, especially you can add a lot next off season. If there's a person that they feel they can get and have him for an extended period of time, I think you make that move. But I'm not into buying some veteran player that's going to come in here just for a rental year, and then he's going to be out next year trying to use this to go somewhere else.
One name, I agree with you. One name you hear a lot about is Za'Darius Smith from the Browns as a pass rusher.
I've been hearing that.
You know, he's got real speed, and it could be a real player. Another name we've heard a lot about is Jonathan Jones, Patriots corner. I'd at least want to have a discussion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it happens, but I would at least want to have a discussion surrounding that. What's interesting is as we get closer, you see teams that are really pushing the gas, and some teams you wonder like who they could go for. And I want to run through kind of the whole league, who makes sense, who should be buyers, who should be sellers. I'm curious for the boys in the aquarium real quick. Landini, you buying or selling at the deadline?
For the Commanders?
Yeah.
I think I would I'd actually like to see them maybe go out and add a little bit. I think that this is a playoff team. They've got an opportunity to win 11 games. Not only would that get us the 2-2 and tiara from B-Mitch, but that would be the first time in over 30 years that they've done that. That's how just horrible this franchise has been for most of our lifetimes. It's been 30-plus years since they've won 11 games. I think, you know, if the right opportunity's out there, and I think there could be one, I'd like to see them do it.
I think that's fair. I mean, the B-Mitch and a 2-2 subplot has just become fascinating for the remainder of the season.
Taking off the rest of the year.
Dude, I mean, if they have to get to 11 to see Brian in a 2-2, they're already at 5.
Hey, man, go for it. Hell, I won't be mad. hey, you make a bet, you make a bet, you live up to it. I won't be making bets that I won't live up to. All these people put their jobs on the line and their hair on the line. No, no, no. I'm going to live up to mine.
Jeff, you wanted to be buyers at the deadline?
Yes, I actually do, especially if
we could get
someone on the defense, because like Landfill said, we are a playoff contending team, and we've shown, you know, a lot of people say, yo, we need to go get, you know, more offensive weapons. We've shown that we can score with teams. So
we can, not with them, Jeff. We outscore
them. And we can outscore them. And when I mean with teams, I mean teams that, like, we show we could keep up with Baltimore and score. And we also showed that we stuck with them a little bit in that first half defensively. We get a couple more playmakers on the team, someone that could truly lock down a number one receiver, someone that could truly generate consistent pressure, like, off the edge. If the opportunity is right, I say why not go for it?
How much would you be willing to spend?
To be honest, JP, when it comes to, like, talking trading players and spending, I can't even give you a set number because I just don't understand it fully. Like, for instance, I thought he would at least somebody would want a second or third for him, and it was a fourth and a fifth. Yeah, I'm pretty bad at that, bro.
That's okay. That's not your job. You are not a NFL GM. And I think, let's do this. Let's break relatively on time. Keep this conversation going. Should the Commanders be buyers or sellers? How much are you willing to spend? And what's the position of need? Nobody. Go anywhere.